This is Practical Software, the show that seeks out strategies, methodologies, and technologies that make software engineering projects succeed.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Practical Software. I'm Sanjeev Nambudri, and today I have with me Hadi Nahari. Hi Hadi, how are you?
Hi Sanjeev, how are you doing? Glad to be back.
Yes, and yeah, exactly. And we are glad to have you back. For the regulars on this show, you might remember that we had spoken to Hadi about a year and a half or maybe more ago about security practices. And we are back to pick up the threads of that conversation. For people who were not there in that show, let me introduce Hadi. Hadi has over 20 years of software development experience designing, developing, deploying, and verifying complex software applications. He wrote the book on web commerce security, literally. He's also co-author of Global Platform Amendment C, NFC, and Contactless Interface, and a co-architect of Global Platform Security Composition Model. So, absolutely the right person to talk to about emerging mobile security standards. Hadi, let's start with, mobile devices and apps need to support multiple security objectives, right? So
correct.
Confidentiality, integrity, availability. So there are a variety of threats that they need to be secured against. So which security standards are commonly used which overcome some or most of these threats?
Yeah, so that's an important question, because what you're asking correctly so is you start with a threat, meaning you're putting the entire security technology standardization, various facets of the ecosystem in a common framework, in a relevant framework, which is the threat. And you're basically asking, hey, what are these security technologies good for? What they do? What they protect against? And by the way, what are the standard ways or what are the standardization organizations that are defining the common ways, the right ways to go against those threats? So that's why that question is very important. First, quickly starting with the threats, one thing to note, since the last time we talked, the world has become even more connected place. Devices that we only refer to them as mobile devices. Now we have to come up with, new terminologies such as connected device, the thing,
right,
the Internet of Things, all of these things. So just a quick reference as to many of the things that we have been talking about in the industry since the last time we talked and what we are doing today as they pertain to the threats do refer to mobile. But we also have to be very careful that the threat, or as we call it, threat modeling, is also itself going through some revisiting, revalidation as to what is the threat model for a mobile device, which is becoming more and more capable. What is the threat model for an Internet of Things device, which is very little tiny device or wearable computing? What are the things that could make those, security or hack targets? So I just wanted to mention that before we enter this question that you had. Now, with that in mind, with that framework, the important standardization organizations, and it's debatable, I know it is a sensitive topic, so by no means do I mean to say other organizations do not matter. But the top two organizations that are very much at the center of dealing with various facets of consumer electronic devices, such as mobile devices, standardization, are Trusted Computing Group and Global Platform. And I'm happy to delve into a little bit more intro of each.
Yeah, sure. Please do. Yes.
Yeah. So briefly, Global Platform. You could have your audience take a look at globalplatform.org is their website. And the TCG, or Trusted Computing Group, which is also hosted at trustedcomputinggroup.org, single word on both sides. These are the two entities that are, for a variety of reasons, have a lot of meaningful things to say when it comes to mobile security, the relevant technologies, and what the mobile device users, application vendors, service providers, device manufacturers, system on chip or SoC vendors, all the entities and end users in the ecosystem should be careful. Global platform, mainly in about its 11, 12 years history, started by focusing mainly on payment systems, and as we all know, the top two facets of industry that have security really is a way to monetization or positive or negative monetization. One of the main facets there is financial institutions, Right. The other one is corporate network. The other one, which is very important, but it's not really considered a monetization entity, is government
espionage. Yes.
Yeah. So sure. Global Platform started mainly an organization to standardize facets of financial devices, payments on smart cards, and then later on mobile devices and the security of those devices. It has since, especially within the past 5-6 years, extended its expertise and efforts and initiatives into other facets of consumer electronic devices, facets of the ecosystem that don't necessarily only deal with payments, if you will. So that's one thing to look for. Trusted Computing Group, at about the same history, has concerned itself with very core layers and levels of security in the ecosystem. So what it means to, if you will, secure an operating system. What it means to create what is called a root of trust, or ROT. What are the different types of roots of trust? What does it mean to have a different depth in roots of trust? How to establish a chain of trust or chain of custody? Two very important components of establishing security, which basically allow a professional to verify the assertions of a secure system. Meaning, if I tell you that I have a system that is secure, your first question as you started your conversation with me was bringing up threats. How do you say the system is secure, but against what? So I have to first define the threat. And then you will ask, what is your proof? So Trusted Computing Group defines, constructs about those proofs. Long story short, it is fair, it may not be completely accurate, but at a high level, it is fair to assume that imagine a line, an imaginary line in the system. In the north side of the line, where there exist applications and services and higher level constructs, you could imagine that Global Platform is more active there. And to the south of that line, where the system hardware or virtualization, a hypervisor, or other technologies that are closer to the IRM, to the chip, to the hardware of the system, you could imagine the Trusted Computing Group is closer there. By no means does it mean that Global Platform, will refer to them as GP, does not concern itself with the south part of the line, and nor does it mean that Trusted Computing Group does not have anything about the application on the north side of the line. To close the answer to your question, one important thing is Global Platform sees the model of the world by what is called the TEE, Trusted Execution Environment. And Trusted Computing Group has got this first-class entity construct idea called TPM, Trusted Platform Module. They both define various facets of the same system. They're not, if you will, TPM and TEE, are not orthogonal, are not irrelevant. They are just different models of defining the security and threats of the system with different mechanisms to address those threats. Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes. I mean, extremely. In fact, it answers a lot of the questions I had after this as well. So that's good. So I guess the question is, are there now, when we look at mobile devices, or as you call them, connected devices, are there any inherent constraints in the devices themselves today, which make it difficult to deploy either of TE or TPM or, you know, discreetly or together? As are there any constraints that specifically would, you know, make it difficult to do so?
I like this question because referring to extending discussion, not just on the technology, also on the ecosystem and the important point of adoption. So let's see what that means. You are right, there are a variety of technologies in the field, both TPM and TEE, as well as the hardware and software implementations of both. And the requirements of implementing those in systems, mobile devices or tablets or different form factors of connected devices. Both these technologies, and I could name some other security-related technologies there as well, they have existed for quite some time. So by no means any of these things are very new, unknown technologies. Quite to the contrary, in fact, since the last time we talked, both the extent to which these technologies are penetrating and offered in the ecosystem, as well as the knowledge about them, has increased. Now, that said, the reason that I'm referring to the core part of your question that we have to think about inherent limitations or impediments or issues, if you will, about taking advantage of these technologies does not lie into we don't know about these technologies. In fact, the reason is it's one thing to have a technology that is mature, that is well understood, that has got a lot of standardization, a lot of specification, in some cases perhaps too much specification. But it's one thing to have that. It's another thing to be able to think about now how to deploy it.
Right.
Let me explain just a little bit on that part because it's important. It's dealing with the adoption of these technologies. And that's the challenge. If you ask me what is the number one thing that we don't see a very scalable, you know, use of these technologies, but we see a great deal of, if you will, improvement in the hacker world. What is that? Why are we experiencing that? I would say we have not, as the industry, done a good job thinking about the adoption of the technologies that we produce in a concrete way. We have done a great job in terms of specifying, as I mentioned, again, even over-specifying some of the facets of technology. There has been a great deal of, you know, thinking about the monetization and business models. Not all of them have been successful, if I may say so. But we have done a lot of work in that as the industry. But when it comes to adoption, scalable adoption, specifically things that have to do with usability, we have done a very poor job as security professionals. TPM has existed for quite some time. The 4,800 pages of variety of specifications that one has to learn to be able to implement it is overtly burdensome. It is very difficult to comprehend, even for professionals. Global Platform, on the other hand, has got a very, at times, unnecessarily complicated ecosystem. And some entities appear to be there just because they want to make money, not because they add a security value. And when I put my consumer hat or engineer and hacker hat on, I see that part of the reason that these good technologies are not being really adopted is they are in some ways addressing problems that existed 10 years ago. They're outdated. In some ways, they are not doing a good job in terms of addressing today's businesses and needs and threats. And in some ways, they have to go through overhaul. So to wrap it up, to answer your question, I would say there are impediments, there are constraints at the device level, at the technology level. They exist, and this is engineering work, and we have to go in and address them. But the real problem, the core problem, seem to be, from my perspective, they seem to be in the adoption and the ecosystem.
Seems to make sense. So And I think you touched upon this a little bit, that, you know, it seems that many of the properties of the TEE are also required of, you know, TPM mobile host environments, and, you know, so the standards that have been developed are somewhat consistent with each other. So can you give us a little bit of more, can you elaborate a bit more on the collaborated standards and the feasibility of these coming together even more in the future?
Yeah, that's interesting, because it just happens that, and it's a good development, that recently, within the past year or so, there have been an acknowledgement and understanding in the ecosystem by major players that these two standardization organizations, albeit dealing and concerning themselves with different technologies, need mm-hmm. to collaborate and cooperate. So there have been a variety of ways through which both entities have communicated. There's a formal way that Trusted Computing Group and Global Platform communicate. There are other standardization organizations, some more in higher levels of stacks, with the smart card, JHAZ is another one in Europe, and others. There are interactions with all of those as well, but for the topic of this conversation, I'll focus only on GP and TCG. Many of these comments, more or less, will be applicable to others as well. But there are ways that TCG and GP communicate, interact at the organizational levels. There are members such as NVIDIA and some device manufacturers, NVIDIA, my parents' employer, and others, who are members of both and address the needs of both markets. So that at that level exists, that interaction exists. In terms of system composition, you mentioned that they work together. Honestly, they were not really designed to work together. At the time, they were concerned with other facets of the ecosystem. It just happened, and it's a good development, that there are architectural suggestions in the world that enable using one technology to achieve the objectives of another. And in fact, composing a system that takes advantage of both Trusted Computing Group technologies as well as Global Platform technologies. What that means is, just to give you a mental image, imagine that in a device you have a trusted execution environment using some hardware technologies at the bottom layer of the device, such as Trust Zone. You create this environment where only trusted code could run. We call that trusted execution environment. So then you could imagine that now you could have a TPM service, Trusted Platform Module, which is a series of APIs. You could have that as yet another trusted service running inside that trusted execution environment. You could imagine that in this model, in this architecture, a TPM resides inside the trust execution environment. That's one way.
Interesting.
This way, Trusted Computing Group could sit on top of Global Platform. The alternative model also is valid and viable. It addresses different parts of the, you know, different threats, different use cases. Whereas you created Trusted Platform Module, you created a trusted entity and trusted services, and on top of that, you create runnable programs. And you could consider that as a TE, you could implement Global Platform APIs to achieve those interactions. Which one is going to be the leading model in the field? It's early to tell. The fact that they could cooperate is an important thing. There are glitches here and there that both organizations are paying attention, trying to merge, because at the end of the day, it addresses the same market, the same users, the same people. But that is not such a bad problem. It's complicated, but it's doable.
Fascinating. So, there's a tremendous amount of information, Adi, and thank you so much on behalf of the members of the group for all that. You mentioned the 2.org websites. Are there any other sites, any other URLs that you would recommend to our members if they wanted to look up more information on this extremely fascinating area?
Yeah, I guess. In the old days, it would be very good to provide one single source. So I don't know if there's a single or a couple other sites.
Right.
What I recommend is this part, and I'm sure your audience, whenever they hear any interview, they hear the same thing. But on the security front, things are changing and evolving so rapidly.
Right.
Partially because the hackers are really busy and they see the scalability and some things that they could not dream 5-6 years ago, meaning publishing an attack, a viable attack on a mobile device could result in spreading their hack around the globe in less than 24 hours. So that activity has resulted also in the defenders' activity. I would say a couple of places that, you know, would be good to look, not just about security, but about the evolution of the outcome of these efforts, would be the looking at the Android ecosystem, looking at the other facets of the devices that are being built, where people are taking advantage of technology. At the end of the day, searching what is the latest announcement on a device vendor or application vendor or stack provider may give you more information, more real-time information than what a specific standardization organization has announced. I recognize that this may be somewhat controversial, but I invite the audience to realize that by definition, by design, standardization organizations have to be slow-moving. It's not a palatable thing, especially when it comes to security and sensitive topics such as attack. But it's similar to governments. There are reasons to make them move slowly so that things fall into the right place and there is thinking involved. Therefore, just relying on what standardization organization is doing what for the next 6 months may not be the best way to obtain real-time information. The good old web and a good search engine, specifically on the topics that are interesting for your platform, might do a better job. But not to leave you hanging, I would say in those search results, look at a couple of things. Look at search for things such as hardware security module, HSM. A search for things such as mandatory access control or MAC. Check this great project that is running, SE for Android, security enhancements for Android, run by the National Security Agency, the research part of the NSA, but also acquired and implemented by Google. Take a look at Microsoft's investments in BootLocker and TPM and get a good coverage on one of the methods of creating security in any system. And if you're an application developer, take a look at some of the ways that some of these system hardening technologies are exposed to the application and ecosystem and take advantage of those. Chances are when you do the search, when you perform this little research study, you're going to end up finding some technologies that you didn't know beforehand, and they could actually be useful for your specific development. Last word on this thread is that avoid reinventing the wheel. Avoid doing it your way and take advantage as much as possible of what already exists in the system, either it's Windows Mobile or Android or any other ecosystem that you happen to be dealing with.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much, Hadi. That was a tremendous amount of information. I'm sure that, I mean, this is a field that is moving so fast and there's so much interest that, you know, there's always things more things that we can learn. So thank you so much. On behalf of the members of the group, let me officially thank you again for joining us. It was a pleasure talking to you. And, you know, I'm sure that there's so much information in this area that I'm sure we could do even another podcast based on all the new things that would happen by then.
Happy to participate. And thank you very much for inviting me to your program. And I wish the very best for your entity as well as your audience for the new year.
Thank you so much. And the same to you. So that's it, folks. Another fascinating conversation with Hadi Nahari on the new emerging and ongoing security standards for mobile security. That's it for this edition of Practical Software, and look forward to catching up with you again with another great guest very soon. Bye.